Hey everybody, welcome back to You Got a Dude. I'm Dina.
And I'm Whitney. And today we're reviewing and discussing the Olsen Twins classic. I know I say it every time, but this truly is a favorite of mine. Holiday in the Sun, aka Island in the Sun, aka The Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley, and The Mystery of the Stolen Antiquities. Because, let's be honest.
I wrote that in my, like, description. Like, it's basically just a continuation of that. Like, it's crazy.
And I gotta tell you, they tack on the mystery element, or, like, the crime element, at the end of the movie. I guess that they have, like, little hints to it throughout the movie. But I think that it would have been so much of a better movie if they had just cut that part out. Just give us the travelogue that we're looking for. Just give us the ad for Atlantis that they show in the beginning of the DVD. Dina, did you get that ad?
Yes, I did.
Before you can even get to the main menu, they have an ad for Atlantis where the whole thing takes place.
My favorite is in the Atlantis commercial. It says, "Once upon our time."
I love that.
So, you know, I hadn't told you this prior, but this is another one that I've never seen.
Are you fucking kidding me? Because this is... Okay, I gotta tell you, not only have I seen this when this first came out, so we were like, what, 15, 14 or 15, I also saw it as I was packing and just prior to moving to American Samoa, and I had that stupid Weezer song, Island in the Sun, stuck in my head the entire time that I moved down there. Like, it was just playing on repeat, and I was like, oh, this must be like a good sign, but it was from this movie.
Was that written for this movie?
Absolutely not, but I like to pretend that it was.
Because it got, like, special credits.
I know, it did get special credits, as did the girl band who were featured in this movie.
Oh, Play?
Yeah.
But how have you been this week?
Oh, that's a good question. Sorry, I'm Googling Weezer as we speak. I've been good, if I'm being honest. I've been really stressed out because of work, and I know that this is a sort of time-honored tradition on this podcast, but, you know, really stressed out because of work, getting the vax. Everybody hold me to this. I'm getting the vax tomorrow.
Yeah.
Woohoo. And literally no other updates. How are you?
I'm okay. I, over the weekend, wore a real bra for the entire day. For the first time in a year. Like, I've worn them for, like, to go out, like, if I'm going to, like, a socially distant patio hang or something like that.
Sure, limited time.
Yeah, limited time. But I bought a new one, and I wore it for the whole day. And I gotta say, I'm on the fence about them as a whole. I really love, like, a bralette situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like I did feel better in my clothes.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. As you probably know, I am a underwire push-up girl, and as I cradle my breasts as I'm talking to you. And
I love the visual.
I know. And because of that, I have worn a bra every single day for the past year. Now I'm like almost embarrassed admitting that, but I've like worn the underwire bra because it just, I have a couple bralettes, but then I always lose them among my underwear. And so I've worn a bra, so I don't even know what it's like to not wear a bra every single day, all day, every day.
Yeah, like, I'm, like, not a sports bra, but the, like, kind of scoop neck tank kind of thing.
Sure.
And some of them I like, and some of them I don't like. This one I got was from Target, the Auden brand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really liked it. I think it is very comfortable as long as I get used to it. But yeah, so that's my major lifestyle update.
I'm a huge fan of that. I mean, we need the yin and the yang, right? We need the push up and the underwire to make us feel great in our clothes, to make us feel like we look our best, and then we also need, you know, to relax sometimes, which I need to learn. So this is a good reminder.
Yeah, also if you need to relax at times, also from Target, the True & Co. bras are very comfortable.
Okay.
And very supportive. So everyone, that's this week's bra recommendation.
Yeah, sponsor us, Target.
Yeah.
or we could just, you know, just do any sort of like relaxation methods, breathing, meditation. Twice today, Dina, I've tried to do a little bit of meditation and I have just completely given up on it, like frustratedly just completely given up on it, which I think looks really good for my mental health right now. So I'm doing well.
My mental health, I tried to make an appointment with a therapist today and they're like, not for a month. And I'm like, oh, it's like you have a broken leg. And they're like, we can see you in September.
They're like, just put a cast on it yourself, please.
Yeah, just
a little band-aid.
Put on HGTV, which is a real sneak peek at my pop culture recommendation. But I find that I'm like most zen. And this is going to sound really stupid, but when I'm pulling weeds in the yard, because it's such that sense of accomplishment that you and I talk about that we would love in our employment.
Oh my gosh.
Like, where you, like, have a set goal, you're going to finish this area, you work hard while doing it, and then you immediately see the results.
God, that's my dream.
And so I feel like when I just throw on, like, a podcast or something like that and, like, go and pick weeds, like, that is the best to me of zen. Like, I can't zen in yoga. Like, right. I'm thinking the whole time.
Yeah, and your body's, like, stressed.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel the same freaking way. But I also zened out during this movie. I'll say that much. I really just let myself sink into this movie, and I enjoyed it.
When did you watch it?
I watched it last night. We've been doing this thing. This is so embarrassing to admit on our public podcast, but we've been doing this thing where we take the couch cushions and we put them down on the floor and then we like lie on the floor and watch TV. Honestly, highly recommend it. It's a cheaper way than like getting like specific mats or like, you know, whatever on the floor.
I love that.
But, and I'll cut this out, but we get high. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was doing. But so last night I just like laid down on the floor and I put this movie on and I, you know, my cat just got on top of me. My cat loves to get on top of me anytime I'm available to her. And I took notes and I honestly, I'll say this much. This was the first Olsen Twins movie where I really was laughing out loud. Now, I don't think that it was necessarily because it was things that were intended for me to laugh out loud at, but I really enjoyed it.
I really liked it too. Here, I'll read the description, then we can get into our thoughts on it.
I'm excited.
Oh my god, I lost my phone again among my blankets. Spoiler alert, I'm laying down while doing this.
I like that you are. Yet again, you're so much more relaxed than me. I'm like sitting up straight.
I need to. Holiday in the Sun is about Alex and Madison Stewart, two girls suffering through an Illinois winter and looking forward to their Hawaiian vacation with their friends.
Triggering.
I know. I was like, is that hard for you to, from the Hawaii to the Illinois?
Well, you have no idea.
Except their lame parents surprised them with a private jet to the Atlanta from the Bahamas. Super bummer. Joining them is their family friends with Hottie Griffin, who has a crush on Madison, and precocious little Keegan. Alex falls for the chum chef Jordan and faces stiff competition in Megan Fox, department store heiress. Madison is dating some dweeb Scott on the island until she realizes Griffin has been filling in his lines and goes for him. Then at a sunset boat ride, Jordan has to pick up some supplies and gets everyone arrested for stealing artifacts. After making bail, the girls return to their detective roots and search for evidence to get Jordan released. The police won't believe them, so naturally they steal a 150-foot yacht and force the police to come aboard to see the evidence. Then the film abruptly ends and breaks the fourth wall for unknown reasons. The end.
I loved that ending. We'll get to that in a second, but that was a fucking amazing ending. So to contextualize the past few weeks of films, this was post-Winning London, but pre-When in Rome. So I just think that's like important to just offer some context.
In my Olsen like knowledge, I always get this one mixed up with Our Lips Are Sealed. Like I feel like the box covers are kind of similar.
Very similar.
And like they're both like the... excuse you.
No.
They're very similar, like tropical vibes, but obviously, like, one is like I think one's pre-winning London and this is post.
Yeah.
But I have to say, like, this had a lot of adventure. The plot really doesn't, the only, like, main source of conflict doesn't come in until the last, what, 15 minutes of the movie?
Well, there's so much wrong with this movie, which I really loved. But, like, even to begin with, so let's just start it out. They're in Chicago. They're in class. They're really looking forward to, like, being with hot guys in Hawaii. But then all of a sudden, the first, like, twist of the movie comes, like, a minute into it, where, like, their dad basically, like, meets them on a private jet.
That he's flying.
Yeah, that he's flying. And he's like, no, we're going to the Bahamas instead. It's like, did we need that little note? I don't understand the point of it, you know? Like, let's just have him go down to the Bahamas.
Also, like, in my head, and probably because I'm currently making $0 in life, where I'm like, but didn't they already pay for the Hawaiian vacation? Like, are we double dipping here? Like,
well, Dina, they're flying a private jet. I think that they can afford the canceled trip to Hawaii.
Yeah. Also, like, she's in class wearing a Fendi hat.
Oh yeah, we missed that fucking part. Yeah. So these are privileged girls. Also, I really liked that the dad was like, "Oh, I knew that you'd be hungry," so he pulls out two like full boxes of Krispy Kremes, and they're like, "Yay, yeah, it's the glazed kind." And I'm like, "Okay, first of all, like, not to, you know, being body positive about this, but no one can eat that many glazed Krispy Kreme donuts." And second of all, it's just strange that that's their sustenance on the plane ride down to the Bahamas.
Yeah, like, especially because the movie started off with, like, a Atlantis advertisement.
Yeah.
And then it goes into, like, this Krispy Kreme advertisement. I was just very confused.
It was very confusing. Also, one more little, just a little, you know, a little issue. Where did they get the clothes? Because all of a sudden they leave in Chicago winter clothes, and then when they show up, they're wearing, like, tropical clothes. And I'm like, where did these come from? Did your maid, like, pack these?
Yeah, their bags were packed for Hawaii. Their private chauffeur packed them for them, you know.
But why did the dad have to surprise them, Dina? Why couldn't he have just told them, like, 2 weeks prior, like, hey, no, you're not going to Hawaii anymore, you know?
Because that's just the life of, like, the privilege in this movie is just immense.
Just blind privilege, too. Like, not even, like, an acknowledgement of, like, hey, we're really rich. This is wonderful. It's just kind of like, doesn't everybody's dad surprise them with a private jet down to the Bahamas? Duh.
Yeah. And then when they get there, they're like, guys, we think you're old enough. You did great on your finals this year. So it's time you guys got your own private suites.
Dude, that was so good. I loved when they were like, well, you probably passed your finals this year, right? And they're like, yeah, probably. Like, the way that they respond, I was like, would we ever have responded that way?
Yeah. Also, to like, round out, like, the talk of this parenting. These parents, so it's like, rich private jet dad, their mom meets them in the Bahamas. They have a mom this time.
Yes.
And the parents, like, want to spend time with them, but then, like, are also, like, spending time with each other, and they get them their own suite, but want them back by 11. It's just, like, very, like, push and pull of parenting.
Yeah.
And then, like, the dad, I thought it was really weird, the dad at the pool is having a martini, and I'm like, who has a martini at the pool?
Dude, everything about these parents were really weird. There's like a scene where they start rapping.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that scene?
Yeah.
Oh God.
And then, like, so when they get in trouble for, like, getting arrested, and they also got in trouble for being in the pool and stuff like that, the mom, like, has a heart to heart with their family friend who's a psychiatrist, and she says, my heart says to let them go. And I'm like, what kind of mother says that?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's a lot of love stories in this.
So many love stories. Too many, arguably.
So we have Alex, and he works at Atlantis as, like, the guy that feeds the wildlife, but then also has access to scuba gear and can just take someone back, like, behind the scenes to, like, help chop up fish.
Yeah, so I'm curious. I'd like to get this kid's backstory, because how do you have, like, a full-time job at the age of 15?
Yeah, that's what I asked. I was like, how old is he?
Yeah, it's disturbing. Oh, speaking of Dina, sorry, did you see the spoiler in the trivia section of IMDb?
No.
Can I just read to you the spoiler? Yeah. Which, keep in mind, this is in the trivia section of IMDb. So clearly, again, clearly people are on our same page. According to their ages, the actors Mary-Kate, Ashley, Austin, and Ben were approximately 15, 15, 20, and 21. In today's society, it would be considered weird, not to mention inappropriate, for girls in their early teens to be kissed by 20-year-old men. I just really like that was in the trivia section of IMDb.
Fun fact, this is an inappropriate relationship.
Yep.
Oh man, that's good. Like, part of the conflict in the movie is that there's this other, like, this movie has so many iconic lines in it that I had, like, never known. And, like, one of them is Megan Fox. They go to this, like, teen club.
Yeah.
And Megan Fox has the iconic line of, like, I get what I want, and I want Jordan.
I love the way you did that voice.
Now that we've met, I just want to get a few things straight around here. I get what I want. And this winter break, I want Jordan.
I have to read. I mean, I should just put in the scene from this, which I will. But I also want us to do this whole thing where she's like, I'm so tired of these lavish winter parties, hanging out at the beach, getting tans, pedicures, and enjoying the good graces of my affluent father. And then her friend goes, really? And she goes, are you kidding? I live for it. And then she says, it just wouldn't be vacay without you hooking up with the cutest boy. So one of her friends says that.
I'm so tired of these lavish winter parties, hanging out at the beach, getting tans, pedicures, and the graces of my excellent father.
Really?
Are you kidding? I live for it.
For real.
Let's start a screening process, shall we?
Hi.
Bye.
Hey, what's up?
Not my temperature.
Say.
Nothing, and keep moving. Now he's what time it is.
And then when she walks around the party, though, dude, and then guys keep coming up to her and they're like, hi. And she's like, bye. And then the guy says, hey, what's up? And she's like, not my temperature.
Oh my God, that was so good.
And she goes, ladies, when she sees like the one dude that she's into, she goes, ladies, we have a winner. Now he's what time it is.
I'm going to start saying that.
So good.
This is Megan Fox's like debut.
It is.
Oh, I just went on the IMDb and they say a filming location is Illinois. And it's really funny because that clearly wasn't Illinois because the snow is clearly just falling in front of the camera and none of it sticks to their limo.
Oh, yeah. I think that they may have like taken like B-roll footage of some high school in Illinois on the outside.
Yeah. But yeah, so Megan Fox, sorry, I get distracted when I'm on the IMDb.
Who doesn't?
So Megan Fox is like all for Jordan, who's like in love with the Alex character, which quiz Whitney, which one was Alex?
Oh, I know this one because I did look it up, but M is for Mary-Kate and Madison and A is for Ashley and Alex.
Nice.
Thank you. But if you had to tell me like which one had the longer hair, I genuinely, even knowing their character names, I kept getting them confused. I think confused. Ashley had the longer hair.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So she, so Megan Fox is like trying to get at Jordan the entire time. Jordan didn't really even seem to be that into Ashley. She just kept showing up at his work.
Seriously.
And he was just like, oh, okay. And then at one point, Ashley tells him like, oh, well, I saved you from putting tanning lotion on. What was Megan Fox's character name?
I just kept calling her Megan Fox.
Yeah. You're going to have to put tanning lotion on Megan Fox. And he's like, that doesn't sound too bad. I was just like, what? Oh, Brianna.
Brianna, right.
And then, so there's that whole thing. And then Brianna keeps spying on them in a stalker-like way for being like the head girl. You think like she would just move on to another guy.
One might think, but she gets what she wants, and this summer, she wants Jordan.
And then she calls, like, security on them for being in the pool.
So good.
And then they all get, like, put in this, like, Atlantis, like, Holt security conference room. or holding cell or whatever. And then they release Jordan and they say, you can go back to work. And they go, what about my friends? And she goes, oh, well, Brianna's not sure if she's going to press, Miss Wallace isn't sure if she's going to press charges. And I was like, what charges are on a hotel sound complaint?
Yeah, that whole thing really confused me. Having been like in a situation where I've gotten in trouble for being loud in the pool before, I didn't get taken to like a hotel like security holding room. I thought that that was quite strange, but I guess, you know, again, Brianna gets what she wants, and this summer she wants Jordan.
I thought like, okay, maybe they get taken to a holding cell since they are underage. But, like, the whole pressing charges thing was just confusing. And then after that, you just never hear from Brianna again.
Yeah, I did like that basically she just dropped out of the movie.
Yeah.
That was great.
Then we move on to the Mary-Kate storyline, where she she's at this same teen club.
Yeah.
And then she, they're having smoothies the entire time. They keep ordering smoothies as if they're, like, margaritas, which I loved.
So good. And they kept like talking about it. I was like, is this part of the Atlantis commercial?
Yeah, like I did not get that at all. Oh, we forgot. So the best part of this like whole teen party thing is this guy comes up with flyers and goes, do you party?
So good, like, dude.
That guy is offering you ecstasy.
For real.
Like it's not an invitation to some teen thing.
I know. I loved that. And I wrote down, I mean, not to be a woman hater, but I wrote down Megan Fox makes the Olsen twins look like good actresses.
Yeah. Her voice is like super weird in it. I did not get that at all.
I think that was just her trying to be like a good actress.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, right? Aren't we all?
So they're at this, like, teen thing, and then the poor, like, best friend, family friend guy goes to get them drinks, and then after that, some guy goes, you want to dance? And Mary-Kate just, like, leaves. And this poor guy is just stuck there.
Yeah, dude.
And then she, like, starts seeing this guy, and, like, honestly, like, a vacation love interest is just, like, it is what it is. You can't be picky.
Yeah, that's true. I've never had a vacation love interest. Isn't that sad?
That's because you've never been aboard a commercial cruise liner.
That's exactly it. Or gone to Atlantis, clearly. I didn't realize that there was like just teen clubs waiting for us to...
Well, I have been to Atlantis.
Was there a teen club?
Well, I stopped there on a cruise ship. We stopped in Nassau for a day. And there's nothing to do there, which I like want to get to when we talk about like the locations. The only thing there was like a Hard Rock Cafe, which is the only Hard Rock memorabilia I ever had from Nassau. And like you have to pay a day fee to even just like walk around the resort. And so we just kind of like went to the free shops and then went to the beach.
Wow. I love that.
It does look like it's like expansive, but it is truly the only thing on that island. So when they're like showing them on Vespas, I was like, nobody would recommend you do that.
I was wondering.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
So they like, she's with this guy, and then it turns into like a whole Cyrano de Bergerac storyline. Yes. Where like the poor family friend who is way hotter than the guy that she's dating. In my opinion.
Easily. Oh my god, are you kidding me? Can you imagine if we met that guy when we were younger? We would be so into him. Although I will say that the guy that she's dating, what's his name?
Scott.
That dude. Scott, he grew up to be pretty hot.
Ooh, I will have to look that up.
Yeah. His name is Billy Aaron Brown, which I really enjoy.
Wow. And so that eventually blows up, and like she's just like, oh, it was you all along, okay, let's make out.
She's like, awesome. That works for me.
This is fine. And then arguably the best love story that they just dropped off the face of the earth is between Keegan and the small boy that keeps pursuing her.
That I really liked, because she at one point is like, what does she say to him? She basically convinces him to start digging like a hole, and it's like a massive hole. And I'm like, you're going to give this poor kid like sunstroke because he's in love with you and he wants to impress you.
She's the only one that's in the alpha position of the relationship and is being pursued and not pursuing.
Yes. That's female power.
Yeah, she's the true epitome. Oh, I forgot to say, when they do the, like, family friend guy that's in love with Mary Kate, they did this, they did a couple really odd camera angles, and one of them was, like, him looking at her, and all you see is her reflection in his eye.
Dude, they did so many weird camera tricks and stuff. I was like, it's hard to even convey via podcast, but the number of like weird, like at one point in time, I always forget these guys' names. Jordan, I think, like sings a song, and they like, again, they like go back for 3 minutes through like her memories, but it's like all in black and white. Like, it's just very strange.
Yeah, like, when the movie first started, I thought the ratio was off. Like, I thought it was, like, meant for a square TV. Like, I did not understand it.
That was also probably true. But, yeah.
There's one really creepy scene, and I actually took, like, a video on my phone of it, because I wanted to put it in the Instagram thing.
I can't wait.
Where Jordan is teaching Alex how to make the fish smoothie to feed to the wildlife. And he holds up a machete, and it is such an American Psycho moment. And then he, like, wipes his, like, face with, like, the Chum Guts glove. I don't, it was all weird.
It was weird, too, because, I mean, I give both the Olsen twins credit. I thought that they did a great acting job in this movie, but particularly in that scene, you could tell that she was so uncomfortable, and clearly it was like cold, so she's like holding her body, you know, and I was like, she's not enjoying this. It looks like a nightmare to like watch some guy like chum up fish guts, but I guess to each their own. I'm not one to judge.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job in this movie.
Definitely, this was one of their strongest movies.
Let's see, what else in this ridiculousness?
So, I hate to bring this up, because I feel like I'm always the one that brings up the things that we're upset with. But at one point in time, I think that both the parents are like, hey, we're like not really spending a lot of time with our daughters. So the mom decides that she wants to convince the girls to go shopping. She literally holds up her Amex card like it's like dangling money in front of a baby. And then they go shopping. So then this is the part where they're riding the scooters. I love the song during this shopping scene. I'll insert it because I'm not going to sing it. One point in time, they're like trying things on and kind of being goofy, and then they decide to wear these like Rasta dreadlock wigs, and in doing so they like make weird faces and hand gestures at the camera, like they're again, they keep like flashing towards this like almost like it's like a home video style camera where they're like doing it to the camera, they're like making these weird hand gestures, and I was just like, this is uncomfortable 20 years later. This does not put the Olsen twins in the best light.
That part did not hold up.
No.
Also, in the shots around town at the end, especially when they're chasing after the Champlain guy or the guy they think is like helping steal the artifacts.
Yeah.
They keep inserting these shots of small children.
Yes.
What was that about?
I don't know.
Other than that, like, the problematic storylines of like chasing after a guy, I think that's just real to the teenage girl experience.
Right. I agree.
As sad as it is.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at my notes here. I liked the couple of scenes where the girls were like going back and forth with each other, where like the one scene was about like, oh, you can have your cake and eat it too. And then she's like, no, it's eat your cake and have it too. Like, it's like the who's on first style of dialogue. And then the latter one was like, oh, you made your bed, now you're going to lie in it. And then it's like, I forget what she says. Like, why would you want to lie on it if you just made your bed? You know, like that kind of like, again, back and forth, witty, sparkling dialogue between the two of them.
Yeah, I would say this also had better dialogue than a lot of the other movies we've seen.
Definitely. It was great.
In the IMDb, they have plot keywords.
Uh-huh.
And Cyrano is one of them.
It's perfect, because it is, truly.
Another one is, another tag or a plot keyword is astronomical object in title. Like, is that something that people really look up?
Sun? Yeah, they're like, I'm only going to watch movies with sun, moon, any kind of space object.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Accusation, like how many movies have an accusation in it, or hotel kiss?
So many.
Like, this is so like thousands weird. One of them is bare-chested male.
Well, see, and I mean, I guess these guys are of age, but again, that's weird.
Yeah.
So one thing that I wanted to bring up was the scene. I mean, I know that I touched upon it earlier, but there's a scene where Jordan breaks out like a guitar and he dedicates a song.
Ugh.
And I remember when I was younger, like when I first saw this movie, for instance, I was like, oh, I mean, I'd love to have that happen to me. That's so cute. And now it's like, imagine if you're like her in front of an entire audience and somebody's playing the guitar for you. And it's like, it's just so embarrassing. And I've had a guy write a song for me and play it for me. Not humble brag. Yes. But anyway, so having experienced that to my face was truly like being sung happy birthday to in like the middle of a restaurant cannot compare. It's like that times 100. And also, Dina, I don't know if you've been watching Summer House, but there's, like, this guy, Luke, on Summer House who, like, plays a guitar, and it's just, like, embarrassing to watch, so.
I've never had this happen to me. I am now going to tell Drew he has to learn how to play the guitar and dedicate a song to me at our wedding.
Just for your wedding? I love that. Yeah. Also, make sure that it's like, I really liked that Holiday in the Sun committed to the full 3-minute song from this guy.
Oh, I was like, why is this still going?
Dude, going for so long, and they kept reusing footage that they had just shown. So they kept like cycling through footage of them hanging out together and like feeding the fucking animals together. But then they would be like, well, we just like ran through all of that, so now we're gonna run through it again. Like, you know, yeah. they have a lot of memories to share here.
In case you forgot, I feel like I took a lot of notes at the beginning of the movie, and then I just like dropped off with the last half of it.
Yeah, I just, a lot of mine were like insane. Like, weird parents rapping scene, the dad's board shorts, great Megan Fox role, who would guess she'd be with Machine Gun Kelly. One note just says rich kids, man. A lot of notes like that.
One of mine is they've done a lot in 5 days.
Yes, that's so good.
A lot of their movies seem to revolve around, like, just, this is, like, almost the exact of, like, a Passport to Paris, like, where it's spring break and they have one plan.
Yep.
And then the parents are like, no, 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 we are gonna flip this on you.
Exactly, which, God, my parents did so much when I was younger.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I do not remember, like, any type of spring break we had.
No. One more thing that I really enjoyed. So basically we're like leaving this entire part out because this part was by far the most boring part, but essentially they get arrested at one point because they like are on this yacht, that they're not supposed to be on. They get arrested. Jordan is like kept in the fucking clink on island.
Yes.
And they all have to like go find evidence to get him out. But it's like really sad. All of a sudden it becomes like, I don't know, some like locked up abroad.
I wrote down Broke Down Palace.
Literally, thank you. That's literally the movie reference I was looking for. Because it just shows him in like a concrete, like 2x2 cell. Not 2x2, that'd be really small. Let's say 10x10.
Yeah.
But at some point, so then they go on this whole like run. They chase after the guy, whatever. I honestly, at this point, was just zoning out. But at the end, they like get the evidence that they need. And then the cops like catch up to them. And one of the twins puts her hand on the cop. And she says, "You want evidence? We got evidence." And when I saw that, I was like, wow, this is like white privilege to the extreme.
Yeah.
She put her hand on the cop and said that.
And he's like, poor white girls just stole a yacht.
I know.
And they just are expecting no repercussions whatsoever.
I know.
Yeah.
So in the limited time that we're going to dedicate this to this movie, remaining, can we discuss the ending?
Yeah.
What was the point?
I didn't get this.
Me neither. It didn't seem to exist for any reason. Also, I had forgotten about it, but immediately I was like, oh my god, this ending. So the ending features, basically, they do like the ending, you know? I forget what the last line is, but she says some last line where it's like, oh, well, that's that for this summer, you know? And then all of a sudden, it like reveals itself to be, a la The Hills, reveals itself to be like a movie set. And then Ashley turns to Mary-Kate and she says, Mary-Kate, there's a rewrite. And then Mary-Kate says the rewrite, which sounded approximately the same line that it was before. You know, it sounded like the same line.
It wasn't really like, it was such just a like one line to wrap up the entire movie.
Yeah, it wasn't funny. It wasn't witty.
Like, literally, Jordan walks out of prison. The entire family who he's never met is there to meet him.
Yep.
And then they're just like, guess we're coming back next year. Oh, there's a rewrite. But that was just going to be the end? Is that why they did it? Because it was such, they like had no idea how to end this?
I like to think, Dina, that they basically had that ending in mind before the rest of the movie was written. And then they wrote the rest of the movie around it. That's how like little this ending made sense. And then they basically like pulled this like really meta angle where all of the actors, or at least many of the actors, are playing like versions of themselves. Like the mom is on the phone with the actor who plays the mom is on the phone with her like agent being like, well, Mary-Kate and Ashley are getting all the close-ups. And I'm like, what is the point of this? Like, is any little kid watching this going to understand that the mom is like playing a version of herself? You know, it just seemed very strange.
Yeah.
And then I really enjoyed how at the end, this was the part that did get me when I was 14, which, you know, I guess that was fun. But I did like how at the end, they're like, well, let's see where we're going to go to next. And then they have like a dart and they like throw it at the board. Because I was like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it like goes into like, yeah, a whole meta thing. And yeah, then that's just where the movie ends. And we're just
exactly.
Like, oh. I just really wanted like Griffin to really get his like final moment.
I know. The movie did kind of rob us of any kind of neat and enjoyable ending in favor of this very strange and unnecessary meta ending. But I don't know. I mean, I guess possibly in the movie world, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows what would have happened? Jordan just goes back to jail.
Yeah. That would have been a way better ending. He said. I have a Bustle article pulled up, like 14 things I learned while rewatching Holiday in the Sun. Like, I feel like there was one person at Bustle that rewatched all the movies and basically just did what we did.
Perfect.
There is one thing that we forgot to talk about, and it's number 5, this false advice. Where Ashley, I think, tells Mary-Kate that pierced ears means a guy is ready for marriage because he knows pain and he's bought jewelry, which is completely false.
Wow. Not only is that false, it's also a dangerous myth to perpetuate.
I mean, you know my thoughts on rings, dating a guy that wears rings. So of course. I feel like that is amplified by earrings.
Absolutely. I would love, though, to make Fed get earrings. And then I'll be like, all right, now you're ready. Now you're ready for all of this.
I'm barely convincing Drew to get a wedding ring.
I love that.
Like, he's just not a jewelry guy, and I get that.
Of course.
But yeah. Also, just for the audience, I don't trust guys with rings because they're either too religious, they have way too much going on with their personal style, or they're married.
Yepers. Or they're Chris Angel, mind freak.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So it's just a general policy. Obviously, there's going to be exceptions to the rule. That's always the case. But just if you're scanning a bar, maybe just scan over those people.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's it. One of the things they say is, like, Megan Fox is supposed to be so rich in this, but yet their dad flies his own private jet. So it's like, really? Like, all right, it's just wealth on top of wealth.
Yeah, exactly. And I really like that, like, she's supposed to be, like, the rich snobby girl that we don't like. But then meanwhile, essentially, like, the entire time, she's, like, stealing Jordan away from her and kind of, like, being, like, bitchy to her. And it's like, oh, who's bullying who here?
Yeah, she, like, called, like, Ashley called fake puke incident just to, like, steal.
I'm like, you know, I certainly don't have any empathy for Megan Fox here, but at some point, you gotta admit, it's kind of a little weird.
So just to wrap it up, the most iconic line in this is the Jordan, like, I get what I want, and I want Jordan.
Uh-huh.
The second most iconic line is Griffin, when he admits his feelings for Mary Kate, goes, everyone's got a hobby, right? You're mine.
That is fucking terrifying.
Like, who thought that was, like, oh man, I would love to be in the script room for this one.
That would be really great. I'm like, Dina, we gotta say it.
This is after they, like, do the weird shot in his eye thing.
Yeah, dude. Well, Griffin loves her. He's been stalking her. And they do, like have pieces where it's, like, quite clear that he's been stalking her for years. Like, Judy Blume, other things that they just, like, insert in there where she's kind of like, oh, you, like, knew all about me. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's it. Highly recommend.
Highly recommend. This one's a good one, especially if you're going to an island in the sun. You're going to want to watch this one to prepare. Take it from me.
Take it from this is 5 stars.
Yeah, we, like, stamp of approval.
You know, in this case, I actually think watching this movie might be better than actually going to Atlantis. Like, go to the Bahamas, but Atlantis just doesn't seem like where it's at.
Yeah, I agree, just from watching this.
Yeah. What's your pop culture recommendation?
Okay, so my pop culture recommendation this week, we're still watching Community. I still recommend that. Mm-hmm. My pop culture recommendation is extremely inappropriate for this podcast, but I'm going to recommend it anyway. So I recommend a book called The Body Is Not an Apology. Ooh. If you've ever struggled with body insecurity, body shame, anything about that, this book is a really great resource on how to love yourself, and not just, like, body acceptance, not just body positivity. All of that stuff is kind of temporary, but it's about how to, like, really kind of almost rewire your mind so that you're not quite so, I guess, like, oppressed by the way that our society speaks about bodies. You know, essentially the author says that there's really only put forth, like, one type of, quote, normal body type, despite the fact that we all have so many different bodies. And for so many of us, and especially women, we're raised to, if we don't adhere to this very specific body type, then we're raised to feel a lot of shame. We're sold a lot of products on this basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't connect with our bodies in the way that we can and should. And particularly for me, it just sort of helped me to realize that, you know, again, not to get too deep into this during our Olsen Twins podcast, but having gone through a pretty traumatic accident when I was young, it really impacted the way that I viewed my own body, as far as, you know, not looking at it as a source of comfort or a source of strength or anything like that. It made me view my body as something to be ashamed of and something to, you know, I used to make myself very small to try to fit in. And that makes me really sad.
I get it.
Yeah, right? I think if anybody would get it, you would get it. But even Dina, I would say, particularly to you, that reading this book is good because it's just been good for me, even in a small way, being able to rewire my brain and the way that I speak to myself, which is sad that it's needed, but it's much needed. Yeah, thank you.
I want to read that. I'm going to put that on my list.
I highly recommend it. I just love her stories in there. And, you know, it is a self-help book, which I don't often read, but this one in particular, I'm like all for it because it's all about different types of bodies too. It's not just like fat bodies, thin bodies, whatever you want to call it, but it's also, you know, race-based. It's also disability-based. It's everything. We're all made to feel that our bodies are not good enough. And so this is just a really good book to start to, again, just rewire your brain and make it so that you're not apologetic about who you are and what kind of body you carry around. You know, it's your fucking body. Anyway. Ooh. Hell yeah. What's your pop culture rec?
So, as I said earlier, I've been watching an obscene amount of HGTV. My anxiety has led me to watch more episodes of the show Hometown than I'm comfortable admitting in any space. I think it has led to concern for Drew because every time he comes home, I'm watching an episode. I have to say, I am in love with that husband, Ben Napier. I could really take or leave the wife, and I honestly don't have that much. I think her room design layouts are really good, but her actual decor is just meh. But yeah, I cannot stop watching it. So if you need comfort in this time, pick your HGTV show and just go with it. And also, they just announced on Sunday that they're expecting another baby. So I'm really invested in this whole journey.
I love it. I should be honest that I've never seen an episode of this show. I've seen all the other ones. I just haven't seen this particular one.
It's you will love the husband. He's like really funny. He's like a huge burly lumberjack guy, but like just a softy that like has dad. He's a teddy bear.
He looks like it. I love that. Amazing.
So that's my recommendation. Any gossip?
So surprisingly, we're in another dead week. We need Mary Kate to go on like another date. We had a real surplus of news when she was getting a divorce and all of that, you know, but now it's been a couple of dull weeks. But Dina, I do have a treat for you. And that is an article from Destructoid.com, which, if you didn't know it, Destructoid is apparently a video game site, I'm guessing.
Sounds reputable.
It absolutely is. It's an article titled, "Let's Relive the Unspeakable Horrors of High School with Mary-Kate and Ashley, Crush Course." So Crush Course is a video game that apparently came out. I never played it. Did you play it, Dina?
No. I only played GoldenEye, really.
Incredible. So basically, Crush Course is literally a video game. I'm guessing it's kind of like the Kim Kardashian video game. But the premise of this game is that a love letter that was stuck to Mary-Kate's locker is ripped apart by an eel teenager, Courtney, and the twins must find the remaining parts to figure out who it's from. Is it from Chad? So basically, let's see. So this is just like a review of the game. The author says that all the boys in the game are really boring. You can just like read their dating profiles. And then this author played it with her like husband. It's just an incredible game to like look at. We can have a couple of the stills maybe on our Instagram or something when we release this. It's just like fucking incredible to watch. But basically it looks like they like really got into it, and it's just like a video game for girls about like who has crushes on you, and then they play like mini golf. So it just seems like a Sims type of thing. There's like a dance challenge, mini golf, journalism assignments, just like real life, man.
Wow. We've talked about this before, but if the Olsens had come up now, like, these films would have done so well on a Netflix situation. Like, all the, like, princess, like, the holiday movies with Vanessa Hudgens, the uptick in the Hallmark movies, like, I feel like there would have been a real audience for these. And same with, like, a video game platform. Like, they were pre for the Kim Kardashian app, you know?
Yep, exactly.
Like, they had that business savvy going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It is kind of cute, too, because you could tell that basically they've taken, like, their pictures from, like, I guess, not so little time, maybe two of a kind, and then they've put on there, like, one of them, they've put, like, little, like, bubbles, like, speaking bubbles, where it says, one of them says, he doesn't even know I'm alive, and then the other one says, but he's so cute. That's, like, the cover of the video game for PlayStation. Shocking.
Well, that pretty much sums up my experience.
Crush course.
Well, I have something kind of gossipy.
Ooh, do tell.
So I had told you I listened to the podcast Les Do You Remember This, which is a pop culture analysis of the early 2000s. And they had a post-high school graduation episode about Mary-Kate and Ashley. And yes, they theorized, based on a National Enquirer article, so that's why this is all, like, alleged, but what they brought up in that article was that basically what happened was, like, Mary-Kate probably did have some, like, disordered eating. Like, they were very thin at that time. But what really happened was that the dad found cocaine after their graduation, found cocaine in Mary-Kate's room, and that's why he had to ship her off for her before her 18th birthday to force her to go to rehab. And apparently that rehab center does more specialize in drugs. I'm not really sure, but that's what, like, this podcast was saying. And originally she was supposed to be there for 4 weeks and she was there for six. And yeah, it was just, that's what really went down.
Interesting. I wonder, I feel like that kind of makes sense to me, but for some reason the eating disorder seems more like, how do I put this? I mean, not to, like, excuse cocaine or cocaine use, but it's kind of like, you know, I would be more worried about her, the eating disorder, I guess.
But this was the early 2000s, where you dieting is just what you were supposed to do.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's true. But then I also remember she was on the front of every magazine because of her body, and they were like, scary, yeah, scary Mary-Kate body.
Yeah. So that's just what they theorized, that's what happened, and that's why it was so rushed and everything like that.
Interesting. Well, I could see that too.
But highly recommend that listen. It was really, really good.
I have not listened yet, but I will.
It was just like, it's like 25 minutes or something, 30.
I love it.
So a real easy walk type of listen. And now I'm listening to, what is it? I downloaded some of their other episodes. They have like a multi-part expose on the Girls Next Door. So that's what I'm listening to next. And I really love Holly Madison's first memoir about the Playboy Mansion is very good. The second one you can just tell she wrote because the first one was such a success and it's not great.
Uh-huh.
But the first one's really interesting about everything that's behind the scenes of the Playboy Mansion.
Okay.
So yeah.
Sweet.
That's my Olsen Twins old gossip.
Amazing. That is much needed gossip.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I think that's it.
I think that's it too. All right. Well, guess what, everyone? We've moved through all the DVDs that we bought. So the offer is out there.
Are we going to have to switch to every other week to spread this out?
We may. But you know what? We always have episodes of Slow Little Time and Two of a Kind
and Full House. Yeah.
And anything else that we can find online that some creepy guy videotaped. But anyway, the offer is out there that if you have a suggestion for us, if you have a dying, what, dying? A dire need for us to review some Mary-Kate and Ashley element that we've been missing thus far, and or if you would like to be a guest on our podcast,
yeah,
please reach out to us.
Yeah, we want guests.
And in the meantime, rate and review, like us on Instagram, we're at You Gotta Do Pod.
Send us flowers and gifts.
Send us gifts. If you're a dude, get some earrings just so we know that you're marriage material. Play a song for a girl in public. Just really, you know what? This is your life. If you're post-vaccination, take back your life.
Yeah, be your best self.
Be best.
Is that our sign-off now?
That's our... Please, we cannot have that sign-off. All right, be well, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Yes, bye.